al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución. No los queremos, no los necesitamos.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 259, and I am Cheapy D, and I am here in Tokyo, Japan, and I am joined by everybody's favorite wombat, Wombat.
I am. I'm actually America's favorite wombat. It says so. I trademarked.
It was voted?
No, I trademarked it.
Oh, I see. I didn't know.
Yeah, you know. I don't want anyone else going around claiming such tall orders. Yeah.
Claims. Claiming such tall claims.
Claiming such claims.
Shipwreck, do you own any trademarks?
Not at the moment, but I was thinking about registering for a wombat trademark.
Second best wombat?
Yes. Second Shipwreck? Best wombat in Ohio.
Right. Of course.
I would let Excellent. You be the first best wombat in Ohio.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm a good guy.
I just had to protect my trademark. I had to fill out one of those DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act things. Devil May Cry America. Because somebody set up a cheap-ass gamer website on one of these like free web host things. One of our listeners was kind enough to send it to me. He called it cheap-ass gamer, and then he was listing, you know, how to get free Xbox Live something or other. So I had to write a letter and...
A cease and desist?
Not a cease and desist, a DM. I had to fill out the requirements for a DMCA, which is, basically...
Did you contact him that way, tell him to send you his information, that way you could sue him?
No, I just contacted the web provider and they took the site down in a day after getting my... after my little letter, so that's always fun. But now I have the letter saved, so if it ever happens.
So you mean
again,
I can't go to excite.cheapassgamer.com and find a...
It was cheapassgamer.webs.com.
Nice. Because, I would totally stumble onto that.
Well, somebody did, because they sent it to me. It's not like I'm out there looking for this stuff.
I know, so that's funny.
Thank you to whoever sent that in. I forgot your name. Sorry, but I appreciate that. Looking out. It's good when people are looking out.
Totally
don't
true.
Have the honored name of cheap ass gamer sullied.
Right. We cannot have our ass dragged through the mud with some shady dealings. So, welcome to the show, everybody. A lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about Battlefield 3, which Shipwreck has been playing. We're going to talk about Infamous Fountain of Festival of Blood or something like that. And what else are we talking about? I don't even know. Skylanders? Is that even the name of the game?
Oh, Shipwreck's going to talk a lot about that game.
And
how he stole it from me.
Right. Yes, we're going to hear about that. That's going to be fun. First, though, I want to ask you a question, Wombat.
I am Wombat. Okay. You can ask me questions.
Because this is a question for a Jewish man.
I'm one of those.
So I cannot ask Shipwreck. It is a question for a Jewish man with a Jewish mother. Jewish man has a Jewish mother, otherwise they would not be a Jewish man.
Oh,
that is
I
the rules of Judaism. You have to have a Jewish mother or you are not Jewish, unless you convert. Okay, Wombat, so let's say, for throwing this out there, let's say you move to Japan, okay? Your mom probably wouldn't be that excited that you're moving to Japan to begin with, but whatever, let's just say you did it.
Yes.
And you had a child.
Yes.
And it came time that you had to send that child to a preschool.
Mm.
And it happened to be that the closest preschool, which also happens to be a very reasonably priced preschool, you might even go as far to say a very cheap preschool and very nice preschool as well, located in, nice surroundings with trees and, a nice play area, very nice preschool as well. But the preschool was a Buddhist preschool. So I actually went, it's Ty's birthday this month, and they had this birthday celebration, for all the kids who were born in October.
I saw the thing, yeah.
You saw the video, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I didn't really, we haven't been to a lot of school events before, mostly just, some sports day thing and like a little carnival they had. But this was the first chance that I really got to see like what a school assembly looks like. So they have a monk in full monk attire, you know, robes.
Does he do some kung fu shit?
He doesn't do kung fu shit, but he does a lot of Buddhist prayer. And all the kids have Buddhist prayer beads while the monk is leading the school through prayer. And I was wondering what you would think, how you think your mother would react to that.
She would faint.
She would faint.
She would just flat out faint and cry. There would be fainting and crying.
Yeah, because I was even taken aback, like, about the whole, you know, the level of Buddha that was going on. There's a lot of Buddhism going on. And I guess that's not a surprise, being that
it's a Buddhist school.
I guess that's why it's so cheap, because you're paying in subjecting your kid to
It's a colloquial school, right? Colloquial? That's the one? Is that the word? Is that the right word? Secular? No.
Well,
I forget. I'm using wrong terms.
Right. It's a Buddhist school. It's part of a Buddhist temple. It's like next door to a huge Buddhist temple, like one of the biggest ones, maybe the biggest one in Tokyo, Zojoji.
I know it well.
You know,
I have that Pokemon.
So I don't know. I was just a little. I've never seen that in action before, and I was just like, all right, this is really a Buddhist school, and that's why it costs $300 a month and not $3,500.
That's insanely cheap, and I would go there.
In a second. The choice was basically this or an international school where, you know, all the halfy kids go, and that is like $3,000 to $4,000 a month.
Oh, if I told you what I pay a month in daycare for two children, you'd vomit. You'd vomit into your garbage can.
Well, I know, because we did that when he was in daycare, but now he's in preschool, so we basically cut the costs by 10.
Yeah.
So it came down because I have friends. They go to their kids go to international school. I have one. He's got two kids going to international school, and I think it's like $4,000 a month or $3,000 to $4,000 a month. You know, that's $50,000 a year per kid.
That's crazy.
Right. That's college.
Yeah.
And the kid is three or four. So yeah. So would you be willing to sacrifice your kids? Well, he's not Jewish anyway. My kid's not Jewish anyway. I mean,
well, see, I think because you have an issue with it, you may be more Jewish than you think you are.
Oh, I don't have an issue. Look, I'm happy. I was like, all right. I was just a little taken aback, but I was thinking, if my mom was sitting here next to me, how would she react?
How would you feel if Ty identified himself as a Buddhist?
I don't care. I wouldn't care. I would think it's a waste of his time. Like, but
well, I mean, of all the religions, what's Buddhism? But
right, yeah.
I offended someone.
I don't even know. Who even knows? I wouldn't know. All I know is they have really cheap schools, and
I don't really know anything about Buddhism. I know Lisa Simpson is a Buddhist.
Yeah, and they have beads. And he has beads with his name on it. And most of the young kids are just swinging the beads around at the assembly like it's a toy.
And fighting games love to have the monk in it.
Yeah. So, and they're usually drunk.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was just sort of interesting to see. And if you go on to youtube.com/tiespot, you can see there's a video of the birthday celebration, very short. And then there's a very long video of Ty's sports day, the Undokai that I talked about, where you can watch me dance with Ty. So there's something for everyone, really. Let's see. What else? Should we do some show feedback?
We could do show feedback. Anything is better than yesterday. My daughter had 104.
Yeah, that's scary.
That is super scary.
Did you have to shove the thing in her ass?
No, we have an ear thermometer.
No. Not the thermometer. The thing that gets the fever down.
No. Yeah. She took Tylenol.
Oh, there's Tylenol?
Yeah.
Is there Tylenol for your ass? What is this?
Those depositories.
Depositories. That's where they shot JFK from.
You get it back later, as long as you don't like ruin the carpets.
Hey, that soldier made the same mistake in Full Metal Jacket. They laughed at him too.
Yes.
But they have that greasy suppository that you shove up your kid's ass when he has a really high fever. No,
I took her to the doctor, who was kind enough to see her at 6:30 at night. And she looked in one ear, looks good, looked in the other ear. Oh, she has an ear infection.
Yep.
Gave me some ear infection medicine, said give her a dose of Tylenol and the ear infection medicine, and monitor.
And don't let her pee standing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. And monitor her temperature. Her temperature broke at 3 a.m. because that's when she woke up screaming. And by then, she was back down to 99.
Great.
Yeah. And now she was down.
Wait, she woke up screaming when she was better?
She woke up screaming because I think it's a shock to your system when the fever breaks.
Oh, you I didn't know that.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, you know what? It's funny because I'm the same way. You know, I know she's my kid. When I was a kid, when I had a high fever, I used to have like weird hallucinations and nightmares. And she gets the same nightmares that I used to get. So...
The same exact nightmare?
Well, not the same exact nightmare, but she has the same symptoms that I had from similar ailments at her age.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear everything's okay, because that's why we're doing a show today and not yesterday.
Yes, because I had Sabrina sick, and Elliot is still a little under the weather also. He broke out in his head-to-toe rash, and he looked like a little strawberry.
You gonna shove anything in his ass?
No, he just gets a little. It's mostly due to teething, and he had like a virus that was brought on by teething. I don't know how this works, but a little Aquaphor on the face, and he's fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do some show feedback and get this bitch started.
Okay, K Clem says, I think this bitch. I think
that's
I know. I think Shipwreck is going to win on his top analyst prediction regarding the 3DS being hard to find at Christmas. Amazon is currently sold out and is only being sold by third parties. I checked this out, and that is a fact. You cannot buy
Shipwreck,
an Amazon.
Shipwreck was very
Amazon.
Quick. Shipwreck was very quick to point that out to me the other day. But everywhere else has them.
Yeah, whatever. Amazon.
Maybe Amazon just said that we're not buying anymore because we don't want to be stuck with them.
That could be, but I don't know. I think Amazon would be the first place to sell out.
Maybe. Could be. All right. Well, hey, look. I hope
Mario's
you're right.
A coming. There's something in the works if Amazon is out of 3DSs. That just doesn't happen. Like, they're smart guys. They know when they're getting low on stock. They don't just go back to the back room and all of a sudden they're out.
Right, right. You're right. They don't want to be out of stock, certainly. So, all right, well, hey, look, I hope Shipwreck is right. We'll see. We'll find out.
Yes.
It's right around the corner.
Sooner than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What else we got?
Yes, this is from Mayday regarding someone complaining about your comparisons for Skyrim and Zelda.
What were my comparisons?
Well, you're saying that alluded to the fact that you think Skyrim will be a better game than the Zelda game.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I do think that.
I know you do.
Okay.
Well, I like to put things in a way so you can clarify. And,
okay.
And you
Thank
just
you.
Did. Yes.
Yes.
He's entitled to his opinion just like you are, but it doesn't make either of you right. No one person can determine if a game is better than another. It comes down to preference and what you like. You know you're going to love Zelda, and you may very well enjoy it more than Skyrim, and vice versa for Cheapy and Skyrim. So shut the fuck up about Cheapy being a fanboy. It's so childish.
I'm a Skyrim fanboy now?
Yeah, I guess it's possible. But
Or I'm an anti-Nintendo fan hater?
Yeah.
Anti-fan?
Anti-fan. A fangirl?
No.
No.
That's insulting.
Well, that's the opposite of boy, right?
Mm, yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah. I picked up on that.
Yeah, that was where I was going with that.
No, I mean, I do find it very hard to believe that... I mean, I don't know. I tried playing that last Zelda game, and that did not seem like a game that was coming out around the same time as all these other great games that I was playing. It seemed like it was a game from 3 or 4 years ago.
Didn't Edge already give the new Zelda game a 10 out of 10 or a perfect score or whatever?
I don't know.
I believe they did.
Who did?
Edge.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Edge. Somebody gave it a 10 out of 10.
When's
what
it coming
a shock.
Out?
What a shocker.
End of November.
Middle of November, right?
I thought it was November 20th. I guess it's, again, that's okay. Yeah.
We're both right.
We're both right.
Yay.
See? Just Shipwreck right. And I just proved it. It's all about what everyone can be right.
Excellent. What else we got?
I just wanted to give a shout out to Zeke for his bullshit quarterly blog post. That was quite amusing.
That was funny.
That was awesome. So hopefully we'll say enough. And by we, I mean me. We'll say enough crazy shit so we could do another one.
Right.
Right. Here we go. This is from Andy 878787. I'm sorry, you may want to avert your eyes, Wombat, as I honestly don't want to make you feel bad, but I have to chime in with a bit of feedback on this show. Now, mind you, I don't usually post in the feedback, and as you can see, I've been a member and a listener for 8 years. But God, was Wombat high this episode? No, I was not. He typically has a relatively tolerable threshold of insufferable humor, but this episode he was damn near unbearable almost the entire way through. I'm not even a Wombat hater, but Christ, one horribly, completely unrelated joke after another, and how he just became more and more amused with himself. I felt like pausing it several times and yelling and telling my iPhone to fuck off. I think everyone can tell that Cheapy and Shipwreck didn't want to touch his horrible lines for fear of getting sucked into the Wombat humor destroying vacuum.
I don't even hear those jokes anymore. They they're like, I don't know. It's just like, it's like they're invisible to me. Thanks. I just don't even notice them.
You're supposed to say that you find
them.
This,
I just sigh my way through them.
The good ones I hear. The bad ones I don't know. Somehow I'm immune to them now.
I think you laugh more often than you think you do.
Somebody wrote in that said that you were giggling so much that they thought you were looking at porn while you were doing the show. Wow. Or something. They thought that you were doing something else.
No, I just find myself very amusing. Although right. I got a lot of compliments on my jokes from the last show.
Good,
People really enjoyed Batman Quotient.
Just like Zelda, everyone has a different opinion.
That's what I'm saying. These comments were put in an order for a reason.
Yes.
I'm bringing it all around. Humor, excellent. Like video games, is very subjective. And just because you didn't find it funny doesn't mean the person sitting next to you on the bus doesn't think I'm not fucking hysterical.
Right.
Right.
All right. Let's do some new releases.
Battlefield 3 is out. Did you hear
it
about
is.
That?
You have it. I didn't buy it, actually, which is surprising. I surprised myself even that I didn't buy it.
You probably will, though, right?
I guess. Like a lot of other people, I played the demo and it wasn't compelling at all to me. I mean, not the demo, the beta, whatever you want to call it. Demo, beta. And I was like, well, this, I don't know, maybe it was the map or I don't know what it was, but it didn't make me want to order the game.
Well, I think all the beta was for was to make sure they had the servers working at launch, right?
How did that work out?
Oh, great. yeah, the servers aren't working so hot.
No.
Still?
I haven't played any of the multiplayer yet.
Wow. But at least you didn't
play
most
of the single player.
And?
Have you ever played a Call of Duty game?
I've played several, actually.
What? Do you want to play one that's not quite as good?
As good? No, because they're sort of on the edge of not being that good to begin with.
Exactly.
So I don't want to play this.
It's got a lot of the stuff that just annoys me. The way the story is set up, it's your guy that you play as most of the game. You're getting interrogated. And through these interrogations, you get to a point and they ask you, what happened here? And then all of a sudden you flash back and go to that mission.
Just like the last Call of Duty game.
Yeah, it's just spot on what they did before. And I don't know, games have been doing that for a while. Like I remember other games where you've been in an interrogation room and you go off and flash back into a sequence. And I don't know. It's like, can we get more compelling storytelling devices than 80s sitcoms clip shows?
But but not just that. I mean, their main competitor did the exact same thing in their last game. So you'd think they'd be even more careful to not go that route. But maybe they so don't care about the single player that they're just like, fuck it. This will just do what these guys did. And no one really cares about the single player anyway.
Well, they did put it on the second disc.
So disc one is multiplayer and disc two is.
Yeah, disc one is multiplayer, co-op, and the texture pack.
Right.
And disc two is the thing you're going to play for 6 hours and then never play again.
Or not at all. Some people probably don't even touch it.
Probably not.
Is the PlayStation 3 version on one disc or two?
I've played the 360 version, so I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I think it's one.
It's probably one. I would assume.
I'm sure it's one because they could definitely hold.
Well, they saved all that space by not including Battlefield 1943, so.
Right. What was the story with that again? Because people wrote in. They wanted us to talk about it.
Think
so it was part of a pre-order bonus?
I guess so. Or I think they were supposed to include it with all PS3 versions.
Oh, okay.
Like Dead Space Extraction was included in Dead Space something or other. Dead Space 2.
Right.
And it wasn't. And that's basically it. And people were mad. And they said, well, you know, you'll get DLC before everyone else that you'll have to buy. That was EA's compromise.
But you still have to buy it.
Yeah, you would still have to buy that. You wouldn't have to buy...
It's just going
to
be...
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
So you get the option to buy something earlier, as opposed to the thing that was supposed to be free, not getting that.
Yeah.
So it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty shitty.
But that was already happening anyway.
Yeah.
Because they already have that deal.
Yep.
Didn't they already... Yep. They already announced that a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Great deal. Battlefield 1943 was actually pretty fun. Why didn't they... What was the reason? Why couldn't they do Battlefield 1943?
Battleford? That sounds like a better game. Drive around.
How come they didn't...
Running over Jews.
Why didn't they... how come they didn't do that?
I don't know.
They ran out of codes?
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't think they said why. There's been, reading some of the comments, some people are assuming that it may actually have been Microsoft that held them back as part of Microsoft's new policy that they won't release a game on that console unless it's identical to the other console version.
But only on what's on the disc, if
yes.
They get a code,
yeah.
A downloadable code. And if, look, let me tell you something. They're releasing Battlefield 3 on the Xbox 360, no matter what they fucking
put. I'm just going with what people are saying. I didn't it was fact.
I know.
This would be like on the third page of Bullshit Quarterly.
Right, if it was a slow news day.
Exactly.
So, Shipwreck, you didn't try any of the multiplayer, and that's what people want to hear about.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not working anyway.
It's really. Not really working, and... I want to get through the single player before I start playing the multiplayer.
Here's the quote, by the way. In lieu of 1943 being available on disc for PS3 customers, EA has made all Battlefield 3 expansions available early to PS3 customers.
Which we announced at E3, I believe.
Yeah, and you don't want that, so...
Right.
Dicks. Right. What a dick thing to do. Anyway, tell us about the game. I'm done.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. The single player stuff, like the graphics, it's kind of a mixed bag, which isn't that surprising, I guess, considering it seemed like they were working on this right up to the last minute. The lighting effects are really good. The explosions are they look nice. It's not as over the top as what a Bad Company is. And so it honestly kind of drags in places because you don't have the personalities and they're not constantly like cracking jokes and talking and everything. And like I said, it has some stuff that really bugs me. Like it always has the follow prompt above whoever you're supposed to be following throughout the mission. So it kind of takes some of the, I don't know, like realism even out of it. Like it's just like, okay, I'm just going to follow this guy until this mission ends.
Yeah.
It has some like scripting stuff too. Like are you guys looking at the Tech Gaming post right now?
Yes.
It's got a picture of a building that you've blown up with a rocket launcher.
Yes.
Now, during this part of the game, I died 6 times right here during this scene. I'm kind of surprised this scene is up here actually. But What is happening in this scene is in that building, there is a sniper that is shooting at you. The first, up to this point, like I just had a rifle. Forget about the rocket launcher for right now. Just had a rifle with a scope. I would easily be able, like during the game, to be able to take somebody out of the building like that with a rifle with a scope. I mean, you just hide behind a little wall and you pop up and you shoot just like any other, like you've trained to be done in all Call of Duty or Battlefield games. Like, you're just going to wait there and kind of duck up and wait for him to shoot, and then you're going to shoot him. I tried that 5 or 6 times, could not find this guy anywhere. He just kept on killing me over and over again. Couldn't get a glimpse of him.
Because you were doing it wrong.
Exactly. I was doing it wrong, but there was no prompt to tell me I was doing it wrong or any reason why I was doing it wrong. So then I got frustrated and I was just decided, okay, I'm just going to sit here by the wall, see what happens. So I sit there for about, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever. And then all of a sudden, one of my teammates go, hey, use this rocket launcher. Okay, I grabbed the rocket launcher from the guy. And then all of a sudden, there's this big orange target on the screen where I shoot the rocket at to kill this guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Great. That's not very compelling.
All right. Well, I don't know. I mean, the problem for me with this game is that the PC version sounds so much better, that like significantly better, like a totally different game almost, because the size of the battles are just so much larger, and the graphics, the difference in the graphics are so much greater, that it's hard for me to get excited about it on console, and that's probably why I have been unable to pull the trigger on it. It just feels like it's hard to get excited about getting the inferior version. Now people are going to say,
"But you're going to play it on your TV. That's where you're going to play this game at,
right? Or not? There's a lot of games coming out too.
There's a lot of games. I'm sure the online, once they get it working, I'm sure it's going to be great because it seems like that's where they spend all their time.
Right.
Well, it is DICE. Isn't that kind of what they do?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But they also put this out. They put this single player out. So I'm going to play it.
All right. Well, I guess if I buy it, we'll talk more about it.
I guess the question for you, Cheapies, would you miss it?
No, I don't. You know, I'm looking at my Raptor profile. I've played 67 hours of Battlefield Bad Company 2. It's a lot. Wow, and I played 60 hours of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. That is also a lot. But I don't know. Somehow, I was excited for it. I played the beta, and then I was like, and then I see how good the PC version looks. I'm like, you know, Uncharted's coming out next week, and I just got Batman. I got Forza. These games require a lot of time. Maybe I'll just wait. Or not, you know. It doesn't seem like there's a rush for me to get it. And even Modern Warfare 3 is coming out. And so, Shipwreck, from what you've seen, what we saw at E3 of Modern Warfare 3, how do you think the single player compares to Battlefield 3?
I think it's going to blow it away.
Yeah, because it looked pretty good. It looked pretty intense.
It looked really good. I mean, it still had the issue where there's the follow prompt on the screen at all times, but it just looks so much more like immersive than what this is.
Hmm. Like a real Hollywood movie, big budget movie.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
That's the impression I got. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it more in the future. What else we got this week in new releases?
Let's see. We have Dance Central 2 that came out. I played the demo of that. That seems good.
I almost played the demo.
That really?
Yep. I almost did. I saw it. I said, I can go get my Kinect out of the closet and download this demo. Then I said, oh, or I could just load up Forza, which is already in the disk drive. And that's what I did.
Hmm. Dance Central seems good. I played that and I played the Grease Dance demo.
Yeah. What song is in the demo?
Grease Lightning.
Oh, I do a really good version of Grease Lightning, by the way.
Well, there you go. Try it out.
Could you help? Could you give us a few bars?
I need to look at the lyrics. Cause
go
I
Grease the girls Lightning. Will
cream. That's all you.
Yeah.
The girls will cream. Do. No, the chicks will. How does it go? Oh. Go Grease Lightning, Lightning. Wello, 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 wello. Go Grease Lightning. You're burning up the quarter mile.
Grease lightning. Go Grease Lightning.
Yeah. You gotta have the hand motions going also.
That's what the game is.
It does with like the hand going up into the side. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, actually. Do you
exactly.
sing also?
Yes, there's a karaoke version as well.
Oh,
you can do
maybe
both
I,
at the same time.
All right, I guess I do have to get that. And make a YouTube video.
Yeah. The demo lets you do one dance and then one karaoke. And I had never heard the song that you sing.
You've never heard of Grease Lightning?
No, it was a different song that you did the karaoke for.
Oh, you can't do that for Grease Lightning.
What's the other song?
Well, not in the demo.
What's it called?
What's the other song? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what was it?
Hopelessly Devoted?
No. It was none of the stuff that the main characters sing. It had to be something like in the background at the dance or something.
What's the name of the game again?
Grease Dance.
Grease Dance demo.
Are you gonna look it up?
Hell yeah, I'm gonna look it up. Doesn't say. Hmm. Doesn't say what's on
here. The nice thing about Grease Dance over Dance Central 2 also is that Grease Dance seems much more liberal in telling you that you're good at dancing.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to track as well as Dance Central, so it makes you play the game better.
I'm very curious. Wombat, that's your job to find out what... Well, now I'm going to really have to download
it. I'm looking at trying to find what the other songs are now, by the way. The other song.
Yeah. Doesn't say.
No.
I just Googled it. Anyway, what else we got?
Let's see. We have... Oh, I lost my page because I was looking up Grease Dance things, too. Everybody Grease Dance.
How come that's the game I got most excited about so far the show? What the hell's wrong with me?
It's all relative.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's see. There was Disney Universe, which I'm not quite sure what that is, but I'm intrigued.
It's not the Kinect game.
No, this is different. This game, you're a little blue guy, and you put on different costumes, and it looks like a platformer. The reviews weren't so good, but... But the videos of it I watched made it appear relatively charming, where if I saw it cheap, I think Sabrina would enjoy watching me play it.
Okay.
How about that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, me neither.
Let's see. What else came out? You played some of Infamous 2 Festival of Blood.
I played a lot of it, actually. I played several hours of it. I've been looking forward to this game because I liked Infamous, even though I never finished it, but I got very far. And I decided to skip Infamous 2. Just, I don't know, there was a lot of other games coming out and people yelled at me for skipping it because they said it was much better than the first one. But I when I heard about this game, I really was excited because it has vampires in it and vampires makes everything better. And yeah, it really is a lot of fun. You get to... suck blood to replenish one of your power meters just on innocent bystanders, which is awesome. You get to fly through the air as a swarm of bats really fast, and the effect looks really, really cool. It's great. It's a little Infamous, and I was just looking for a little bit of Infamous. It's about $8 to $10 worth of Infamous, and that's what it costs. If you're a PS Plus member, it's $8. If not, it's $10. I like, you know, the spooky theme is great for Halloween. I think you could probably do a lot worse with your $8 than buy this game. I mean, you'll probably get, I think I've played about 3 hours of it already. And I'm going to guess that the game is about 3 to 5 hours in length, depending on how much trophy hunting you're doing. But I really would recommend it. In fact, Wombat, this is the game for this week's
BMQ.
What do we call this?
The Batman quotient?
No. What do we call this segment?
Oh,
where I make you Cheapy made me buy it.
Well, can't I just get it from you?
Okay, Cheapy made me game share it.
Cheapy made me game share it. I could do that.
Yes.
Okay.
You could do that. I was very impressed. It looks great. It's 3 gigabytes. It's a 3 gigabyte download.
So that's the rest of my space.
That's the rest. But it's really good. It's really fun. It's fun killing the enemies, and it scratched my Infamous itch without me having to spend $60, which I think is perfect. And it has the the user generated content stuff in there too. Although you have to unlock it as you play through it, so you can actually make your own missions like you can in Infamous 2 as well. So I don't know. I really recommend it. I really recommend it. So as long as you're not expecting to get a $60 worth of content for your $8 to $10, I think you're going to enjoy it.
I picked it up based on your recommendation. I have not tried it yet.
Okay.
But I bought it. It's there.
It's there. It's in your area.
That makes me feel better. It's there.
It doesn't do a great job of telling you what your powers are. You have to sort of figure them out, or it doesn't, like, it starts to lead you through with a tutorial, you know, as you're playing through, and then it just stops at some point without telling you some things. But I played it a lot of Infamous, so I knew. But
is it like Born to Hand Jive? Is that maybe
Rock and Roll Party Queen is what it is.
Oh
wow. Yeah. Okay. I actually sent a tweet out to people and they didn't respond. Which now I'm going to delete that to remove any embarrassment and incriminating evidence that I care about.
It's okay.
Except that it's on this podcast.
I see that that is actually on the soundtrack, that song.
That's a bad choice. Is, I guess they can't put any of the other ones because then maybe you wouldn't want to buy the game. You'd get too much grease.
I guess. They could have at least maybe done Grease Lightning again or something. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to show variety, but a song that nobody knows.
I think they don't want to put too much that you do know, because if it had, like if they did Summer Nights and Grease Lightning, you wouldn't buy the game.
That was it.
You wouldn't
buy it. Right, exactly. One quick thing for Infamous Festival of Blood. It's a standalone game. You do not need to own Infamous 2. And I think a lot of people did not realize that, because when I was tweeting about how much I enjoyed it, people were like, oh, I didn't realize that I didn't need to own the full game to get it. So yeah, you definitely don't. So yeah, buy that. It's really good.
Let's see. What else came out? Also for PSN, Pixel Junk Side-Scroller came out.
Yes.
I have not checked it out.
I've only been reading about the controversy, the IGN controversy. Have you guys?
You mean the definitive IGN review?
So I guess you've read about it.
I did.
Oh, I lost my link. Didn't I put my link?
Oh no! You know we have listeners over at Pixel Junk.
I know. I've met her.
Yeah,
you have the link. It's under multi-platforming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, what the controversy is the IGN reviewer wrote in his review that when you finish the game, it basically kicks you back to the title screen. And he complains that the game is very short. And in fact, when you finish the game, it kicks you back to the title screen and it doesn't even do anything great when you finish it. And then Dylan Cuthbert, that's how you pronounce his name, went on Twitter right away to the guys like, you played the game on casual, because if you played it on normal mode, you would have gotten this really big cutscene at the end, and you would have, doesn't just kick you back. And then the reviewer wrote back, I did play it on normal and I didn't see that. So it's all crazy. So somebody's wrong and everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's tits are in the ringer. So I don't know. Yes, I think that if you, especially a game like that, that's pretty short. I don't know. Like, and especially, you know, like it's a shmup, right? More
it
or
is.
Less a shmup?
Yeah, it's a shmup.
And, you know, I'm not a shmup expert. Now, you are, Shipwreck. Usually, that's the case, right? If you play a shmup on an easy difficulty, you don't get to see everything, right?
Right, you don't get to see everything. You probably get through it on your first try because you probably have a lot of lives and it's not very hard. But, yeah, they're meant to be played over and over again. It's a, like, on increasing difficulties. That's the whole point of shmups.
Right.
To get better at a game.
So I guess the controversy stems the reviewer didn't mention that he played it on the casual difficulty, but he said he played it on both and didn't mention the cutscene. So,
well, he changed his review too. He took out some parts of the review after he was called out,
and then he put them back in.
And then he put them back in with an explanation. I'm having a tough time speaking today.
Well, it's a good thing we're doing a podcast then.
Right, there's some speaking there. Yeah, the part that he took out of his review is he had originally written, finish the last stage and defeat the final boss, and what is your reward? A swift kick back to the title screen with no more than congratulations.
I have a question, but does that really matter? We've talked about this before. A game's ending should not be how you judge a game.
It's part of it.
It is part of it, I think, for sure.
Even if it's...
It's your reward, in a way, for finishing the game. It's important.
No, the reward for finishing the game is that you played a great game.
Well, but that it also helps to cement how good
games are a destination, not a journey.
Well, yeah.
What?
But I'm,
you,
no, games are...
against the point
journey,
you just tried to
games
make.
Are a journey, not a destination. Thank you. Chibi can't speak, I can't think. I haven't slept in about a week. Cut me some slack.
No. It depends on what kind of game it is. I mean, the last thing you're going to take away from the game is the ending. So it's the last thing on your mind.
But with great games, you recall amazing moments.
With great games come great responsibility.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, that is how my uncle died.
I don't know. It makes a difference to me how much I enjoy the game. My, you know,
I can't wait to read the comments.
Without that awesome ending, I think is not as strong as a game. Hitman Blood Money without the really cool ending is not as strong.
I'm not saying that a great ending can't make a game better, but I'm saying that if you thoroughly enjoy the game, but the ending is disappointing, that shouldn't take away from the game that you really enjoyed.
Well, he didn't enjoy this game that much to begin
with. Well, that's a whole different... He was just, that's different
altogether. This is just one of, the bullet points in his review of this is a short game, and in fact, it's so short that when you finish it, it just kicks you back to the title screen. So, you know, the fact that he changes the review, the fact that he may or may not have played the game on just on the casual mode for his review are all leading to a controversy.
The fact that he likes to touch small children.
Right, to a giant thread on NeoGAF with a lot of outrage. So
A thread of rage on NeoGAF. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I don't know necessarily if the Pixel Junk guy should have gone onto Twitter calling the guy out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I guess you know what? You're pretty emotional at that point when the first review for your game comes out and you see that the reviewer may have not given it his full attention.
He's also an active Twitterer. I mean,
right.
He's always out there talking up his games and talking to people and everything. That's his personality.
I guess you can't really fault him for that. I'm sure if it was me and I just put a game out and I saw that the IGN review is the first review out and the guy, you know, if I thought that the guy blazed through the game on casual, I probably would have teared him a new asshole on Twitter. So I guess I can't really blame him for that. But in terms of the game itself, I don't know. I don't think it's a game for me, so I'm not going to play it.
I'll give it a shot. You know what game has both a memorable and a great ending and comes out this week?
What's that?
The House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut.
That ending is so fucked up.
No spoilers.
I won't spoil it.
Yeah, we won't spoil it. My favorite
Wii game, for those who don't know, House of the Dead Overkill is my favorite game on the Wii.
And now this is out on PS3 only?
Yes, it's a move.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I have a play date scheduled with one of my coworkers for this weekend because he has a 3D TV and we both have the Move sharpshooters.
Oh, nice. So you're going to play in 3D.
Yep. That's what I'm waiting for. I've been looking forward to this game for a while now because it adds some more scenes. It up-reses everything, and hopefully it gets rid of the issue on the Wii. There would be so much blood on the screen that it would slow down.
I couldn't handle the blood.
Yeah, it could. There was way too much blood for the Wii. Could not handle it, and hopefully the PS3 can handle all that.
It is $29.99 on Amazon right now.
And the level of crazy slash awesome in this game is more than any other game per minute I've ever played in my entire life.
Awesome.
The awesome to crazy ratio, as I guess we would.
Good.
Yeah.
I like those. That ratio.
Yeah, it's literally insane.
What else we got?
The Back to the Future Telltale game got all boxed up and disced up for the Wii and the PS3.
All right.
So $20 for that. That's not bad.
Did you finish that?
I finished the first two episodes of it.
Okay.
They're good games. It's just, they're slow. I lose interest.
I see.
Yeah, point and click adventures, they have to move a little bit faster for me.
Right. Or it has to be 1988.
Right. Let's see. Kirby's Return to Dream Land came out for the Wii. I'll talk about that next week. I have that. I need to play it. For the 3DS, I've been playing Pokemon Rumble Blast. That's another one of those Pokemon games. It's not really a Pokemon, main game. So, this one, you have toy Pokemons that you're actually playing as. And it's basically, it turns into walk forward and hit the A button. And,
that game sounds awesome.
Yeah, here's the strategy. I'll explain this to you. Let's see if you can grasp the strategy here and see how you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you start off with a handful of Pokemon, and they all have different power ratings. So let's say you start off with a Pikachu, and it's like a level 21.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using that Pikachu, and then you beat up some other, let's say you beat up a Squirtle. And the Squirtle, like, it just randomly either turns into coins or it turns into a Pokemon that you can pick up and add to your team. So let's say this Squirtle, you can pick him up.
Okay.
And his power level is 40.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should you keep using the Pikachu, who's 21?
No.
Okay, good. You've mastered this game.
Awesome.
Yes, I have like 300, I think, or so, like between 200 and 300 Pokemon in my team now. And every time I get a larger number, I go to the larger number.
Right.
And then
sounds
I hit A.
Sounds like it's made for small children.
Possibly. I'm playing it.
There you go. You proved your point.
Excellent. Let's see. What else we got this week? I see some stuff on here that's missing from here, because I downloaded the War of the Worlds demo for Xbox Live Arcade.
How is that? That looked good to me.
I downloaded it, but I didn't play it. So how is it?
It's not good.
I didn't think.
You think you hope that it's going to be like Flashback?
Yeah, that's what right. I.
Or
yeah,
Limbo
yeah, yeah.
or something like that. And you can see like it's just a not very good version of that. So I tried the demo and after I died like 3 or 4 times, I said, no, I will not be playing this game. It does have Patrick Stewart doing the narration, which is easily the strongest part of the game. But that's not enough to make me buy the game or play it.
Did you get the free pinball table?
No.
Oh, you should get that. It's good.
There's a free pinball table?
Yeah, if you Pinball Effects 2, you could download the table Paranormal for free for a week. The full table unlocked forever.
Shit.
It's a really good table. I played it last night. It was the only game I had time to play between screaming and crying. And that was mostly me. It's good. It's got 2, 4, 5, maybe 6 flippers on it. Ramps everywhere, all sorts of weird, the Loch Ness Monster. It's a really fun table.
All right, I'm queuing it up
now. Yeah, totally.
As we speak, so I don't forget.
Exactly. If you're listening to the show and you're near your computer, queue it up now because it's only free for a week. It's a great table from the Zen guys. It's all they make are great pinball tables. I can't say enough nice things about them. But check it out. It's a fun table and it's free. So really, why not?
Right. Good.
Yeah. They know it because it's going to be like a gateway drug. I guarantee you, for everyone who downloads this, that person will buy at least one more table.
Right. Probably Spider-Man.
Maybe Spider-Man.
Which is what Ty's dressing up as for Halloween.
I saw the picture.
Yep. It's pretty exciting. My thing is not queuing up properly.
Oh, that bastard.
All right. What else we got, Chip? Any other new releases?
Not much else. Centipede Infestation. We played some of that at E3. Seemed all right.
Mm. I saw Daytona USA came out on Xbox Live Arcade. They got some nerve charging $10 for that. I looked at the screenshots, through the marketplace. Yeah, it looks pretty shitty.
Maybe if it was bundled with Cruisin' USA.
Or something. I don't know.
Maybe if it was bundled
with $5, then it would be worth it.
I mean, it's Daytona. It's.
I know. You know what's good? Forza. Buy Forza.
Should we do like a big debate over what's better, Daytona or Forza?
Well,
no.
Daytona has been around for much longer and probably over the lifetime may have sold more copies than Forza.
This sounds like a rehash of the last CADcast thread or two CADcast threads ago. All right. What else we got here? Are we done with new releases?
I hope so.
Good.
Pillow Pets. Puppies 3D, Squinkies 2, Adventure Mall Surprise.
No. All right, CAG shopping news. A little sneak peek at the Sunday ads this week. Target has a buy 2, get 1 free sale from October 30th to November 5th. So you can get your Uncharted on and some other game and then a free game. I recommend Forza 4 and Batman.
Got to get Batman.
We'll talk about Batman. Just look, go to audibletrial.com/CADcast. Get your free 2-week trial of Audible, your free book download. You can get the Steve Jobs book, right?
I did.
Did you listen to it?
It's 25 hours long.
Did you listen to any of it?
I haven't listened to any of it yet. Haven't had a chance.
I see.
But I have it. That makes me happy.
Yeah, so you can get that for free right now. audibletrial.com/cagcast with your free 14-day trial and free book. Let's see. I did the CAG shopping news. what else we got here? Multiplatforming, some news, etc. Are we going to get a Skylanders update?
Yes, Shipwreck.
I have Skylanders.
Tell everyone about Skylanders.
Wait, I want to hear how Shipwreck stole Skylanders from Wombat. From Wombat.
Oh, so here's the story. When Skylanders was coming out, I said, this looks interesting. I would review this. And Shipwreck decided that he had no interest in it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, okay, I'll ask for it for you. I'll have them send it to you so you can review it. And I said, great. So I was, you know, expecting it to show up. They didn't send it to me. They sent it to Shipwreck directly. Now, a couple of days before, Mrs. Shipwreck saw the game in a store and decided that she wanted to play the game.
So the plot thickens.
Exactly. So when the game arrived at Shipwreck's house, all of a sudden he had decided, you're not going to review this anymore. I think I'm going to hold on to it.
Oh, I see. Shipwreck, what do you say in your defense?
I went with the person who sleeps with me.
Good choice. It's a good choice. You can't argue with that.
Also, I didn't feel like spending the $10 to send it to Wombat.
Right.
But I offered to buy him it off of Amazon.
Right. But you also, a guilt buy?
Yeah, a little bit of a guilt buy. But I did promise him that I would.
Right.
Send it to him, but
he doesn't need Wombat. Doesn't need it.
The thing is, I'm saving Wombat so much money by not sending this to him.
I'm just amused that you don't deny it, which is very funny. And yes, I agree with you. I don't really need it. And obviously, I told you not to buy it for me from Amazon. That you didn't need to do that either. But I would like to hear your opinion and tell me why I'm better off without it.
Because you have $80 more than I do right now.
You bought $80 worth of figures?
Maybe.
What?
Let me explain this game to you.
Yes.
So they sent me the starter pack, which had the 360 game, the Portal of Power, and three figures.
Now that retails for $70?
Yeah, that retails for $70.
Okay.
So that'll get you started. That gets you your first hit.
Uh-huh. Your first hit. Okay.
So the game itself is it's almost like a gauntlet action RPG type of thing, but with a kid's kind of vibe to it.
Okay.
So you level up your characters, you get new moves. All the characters have different abilities. So you'll have ranged characters, and they have fire and water and all kinds of different things like that. And they all have different abilities, like their speed and their strength and all that stuff.
Right.
And then you find hats for them, and they can wear hats.
Hats are nice.
And then so you're walking around, you're collecting your coins so you can upgrade your person, you're getting experience points, and all this is saving to the figures that you have on your Power of Portal.
Okay.
Like, it all transfers to them. Kind of neat.
I'll be right back.
But then you get to a gate. Yeah, okay. You get to a gate, and it says, oh, I'm sorry, you need a wind Skylander to access this part of this level. Now, you can keep going if you want to with your other Skylanders, but wouldn't you rather watch this this preview video of this Skylander you don't own that could get you into this other area?
You mean a commercial?
A commercial, yes. You get a commercial in the middle of your game.
Oh, my God.
That shows you how awesome this Pegasus unicorn that shoots rainbows is.
Right.
So then you pause the game and you run out to Target to buy the exclusive rainbow shooting Pegasus.
Shipwreck, did that happen?
Maybe.
Did you and the wife get into the car and go to Target?
Maybe. it's a fun game. It's surprisingly well done.
How old are you again?
Six.
You're six, but you have a car and money.
Yeah, this is perfect for any six-year-old who can drive himself to the store and has plenty of disposable income.
Awesome.
Moms and dads, I would suggest not getting this game for your kid unless you are willing to tell them no, they can't go into the fire land because they don't have...
So you really can't play parts of the game unless you buy the figures?
Yes. You need... There's eight different elements of figures. So you need at least eight figures.
How much does the figure cost?
Figures cost $8 a piece or 20 for three of them.
Holy shit. So it's basically... See, what they're brilliant. They've figured out a way to do DLC without having to kick back money to the console, the console companies.
And there's physical levels that you buy. I bought the pirate pack. So I have a pirate ship that goes on the power portal and opens up another level.
Now that's not a figure. That's an actual boat.
It's a boat it's about the same size as the figures.
And those are sold the same price?
Those are $20 for an adventure pack. You get
Holy
in an adventure pack.
Shit. So they're oh my God.
Yeah, in an adventure pack you get an exclusive Skylander. You get the level, so the ship. And then you get two items. In the pirate pack, you get a treasure chest that you can put out on the power portal in each level in the game and find a secret treasure chest.
Oh, my God.
And you get ghost swords, which you can place on the power portal to have like magical swords go around and kill enemies for a short period of time.
I'm on Amazon right now looking at all the merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. There's the pirate ship. And it comes with some – oh, my God. And that's $20. So, yeah, they figured out a way to do DLC without having to kick back the monies. Smart. Really smart.
It's really smart.
And I see a lot of the shit is sold out on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's and they have – there's an exclusive at Target. There's an exclusive at Walmart. And there's exclusives at Toys R Us.
Shit, Activision stock's going to be going through the roof. Sweet. But,
yeah, and you don't need to buy it. There's 32 in total, not counting the variant ones. There's a few variants as well. And you don't need to buy all 32, but in the game there are, like, you get power gems that are specific to a certain character. So you're still encouraged to buy every character.
And you have to watch the commercials.
Well, you don't have to watch the commercials.
You can skip them?
You can skip them. You don't have to. It asks you, would you like to watch this video of Chop Chop? And
right.
You say yes.
And then you go to Target.
Then you go to Target and you buy Chop Chop.
Right.
Drobot is clearly the best of the Skylanders, though.
Right, Drobot.
He's half dragon, half robot, and he shoots like gears or saw blades out into the environment. It's pretty badass.
This game is, I guess it's not out in Japan. It sounds like right up Japan. Maybe they stole this idea from Japan. I don't know. So, let me see. Skylanders. No, just the music. They have the music.
Oh, and it's got Sully from Sully. No,
Uncharted?
Not Sully. The guy from Seinfeld, Elaine's boyfriend.
Oh, shit.
Tully.
No, it's not Tully. Where's Wombat when we need him?
Bully?
No, I forgot what his name was.
It's got that voice actor. He plays one of the main characters in Skylanders. It's pretty good.
That'll come to me later. All right, cool. Well, that's good to hear about. I will stay far away from that game. That's going to cost me even more. I'd have to import all the characters. The shipping cost is going to kill me. I saw that the Grand Theft Auto 5 reveal is coming next week. Any guesses on what it's going to be?
What? It's Grand Theft Auto. Like, is it going to... Like, we're just guessing on a city?
Yeah.
The
rumor is that it's L.A. again.
Okay. Not Dayton, then.
Not Dayton, no.
Hi, I'm back.
You're back.
So what did I miss?
You have to tune into the show and find out.
I will. So bottom line, do you like Skylanders?
He likes it. And he's spending a lot of money on
That's what I thought. Okay.
They have commercials in the middle of the game, Wombat, to tell you to go out and buy the other figures.
That's awesome. They have commercials on TV all the time.
No, but you're playing the game. It's like, oh, if you want to go to this area, you're going to need Jambot.
It's pretty crazy.
Not a real Skylander. Jambot is not a real Skylander.
Jism Bucket.
All right.
I heard is the real one.
That's it. I think you nailed it. Did you read this article? Let's see. Somebody, Liberal Tugboat, wrote in and wanted to know what our opinion was on the Kamikaze Blogger article. Did you read that article? Anyone?
I read it.
I didn't. You read it? I'm going to look at it right now.
To summarize the article, it's basically there was a leak at a Namco event that Ezio is going to be playable in Soul Calibur. And someone, I guess, took a picture of him or something and sent it to a blog. And basically that blog broke the embargo on it because they got it sent to them by some outside source. And one of the other writers for GamePro got mad, and he wrote an article called "Why Kamikaze Bloggers Are Destroying Games Journalism," which is funny because to say that something is destroying games journalism is just funny in itself. How do you destroy what is really 99% a rewriting of a press release with, you know, the addition of photographs and snark? And, you know, the rest is reviews, and basically, I don't know if that's something that can be destroyed. It's not.
Yeah, there's some editorial involved. But
well, in game reviews,
it's not that there is an editorial involved. I think it's just what's so serious about writing about video games.
Well, there's that as well.
I think that's what it comes down to.
I mean, if you look at 100 stories on a blog, what percentage of those stories are not, you know, like a preview, which is really basically, you know, an impression of marketing.
It's still hands on. I mean,
it's still hands on, I guess. But when's the last time you've read like a really negative preview? I don't know. I don't even read previews anymore or watch the videos. It's just, they're a waste of time. I think it's really like just wait till the game comes out and play it. You'll see what it's all about. Or read the review.
You still go to E3 and look at games, though.
That's the only time, really, that I really will look at them. Like, even Saints Row the Third, I'm so looking forward to that game. I think I've watched, besides what I've seen at E3, I've watched one video. And I think I even stopped watching the video because I felt like it was ruining too much for me. But I don't know, I mean, this guy's basically going on to say that we have, you know, the embargoes are very important, and it's ruining.
Why are embargoes important?
Because then everyone doesn't have a fair chance to write up the story.
Why does everyone need a fair chance to write the story?
And people,
Shipwreck, you work at a large company. If you didn't do your job as well as someone else in your company, should that person be given a fair shake to do a better job, or should you get the promotion in the big office for being better at your job than
that person? But it doesn't work that. But see, it's very games writing is very unique, even like compared to other media, you know, people who write reviews.
I know, and that's why it's so saturated. If there were no embargoes, then the best games journalists would be the ones that would still have jobs. I know it sounds terrible.
No, because you're reliant on the publisher to disseminate information. You really can't. They're not going to go, you know, sneak into Activision's headquarters or stand outside the window or, you know, try to hound developers for information on their games. They wait for the
PR company. But you say it as if the publishers and the PR companies don't want this information out. Of course they do.
But they want it out as they see fit in what they release at what time.
And how is that different than how it's done now?
No, that's what they do.
I know.
That's the way it works.
So what's your point?
It's not different. My point is that
it's about the journey, not the destination.
That's my point.
I failed to see your point.
My point is there's nothing if the publishers or PR companies don't exist, then
what's going to happen? Who said the publishers and the PR companies don't exist? I said no embargoes. So
let me talk about embargoes.
Shipwreck is going to wrap it up quickly.
Embargoes, as far as reviews go, embargoes are a good thing because it lets reviewers get the game early. not rush through it to put out.
Imagine
the first
somebody
review.
Might rush through a game and play it on casual if there were no embargoes.
Exactly. That's the kind of world we would live in.
Right.
I think eventually the educated gamer would learn who the good reviewers are versus the bad reviewers. Who, when they get that game a week early, would write the better review, and the reviewer would become more important than the review itself. So the reviewer is what's important. I know this person's going to write an honest review about this game. Embargoes be damned. They're not going to rush
the
review.
But they're not going to get the review out there in time. That's going to be like posting a review 2 weeks late
because there's no embargoes.
So the games aren't going to go out on time. They're going to wait, send the games out when the game releases, except for the companies that agree to the embargo, who will get it early. That's the whole reason there's embargoes on review games.
And why is there an embargo on letting Ezio's appearance in Soul Calibur go out?
Because they all were at some event. Well,
that's marketing.
Yeah, it's marketing. Most of game writing is marketing.
They don't have it at the event.
That's what the event is for, is to tell them about it.
So why should there be an embargo when you could tell other people about it?
Because they agreed to it.
Yeah, see,
you agree to these embargoes.
I understand that you agree to the embargoes. I'm saying that there's no need for these embargoes. That they're unnecessary. I don't think you need embargoes.
But everybody would run out of the event as soon as Ezio pops on the screen. Everybody would run out to get to their computer and post it.
And then everybody on the internet would be talking about Soul Calibur and how Ezio's in it. Where's the problem? And what kind of article do you really need to write about that? It's a one-sentence article. Ezio's going to be in the new Soul Calibur as a playable character. What else is there?
There's the,
what's the
official
story?
Screenshots you need to get together.
That's not a great example.
Wombat. I don't understand how you don't get
this. Looking at it from the other end. And from marketing, as the marketing person, I'm not happy with this in the sense that it's not going out the way I want it. But as a marketing guy, I'm happy that the information is the most popular thing on the internet that day.
But if it's
that
wrong,
the only thing well, people, but what's wrong? Is it wrong?
You want to, as a marketing guy, you want to control the message.
But the message is right.
What do you want to see about your game? Do you want to see somebody's iPhone, like half-cock screenshot of some blurry
100%, and let me 100%, and let me tell you why. Because you have that blurry, and it's the same thing that happens with the movie trailers a lot, too. You have that blurry, half-assed version of it, and it leads to speculation. It gets people talking about it. Is he really playable? That screenshot was kind of blurry. I don't even think it was him. The red sash wasn't quite as red as it should be. Well, it was a blurry iPhone picture. And people are talking about it for days until you release that official screenshot, and then it goes up on the website. So now you don't just get that one hit from when you release the initial screenshot.
But you don't get
you
those.
Get the double.
Without embargoes, you don't get those.
You totally get it without the embargo and the leaked screenshot.
We wouldn't be talking about this right now because you would get everybody in that room would post a similar thing.
Well, that's what, but then you wouldn't even have the leaked screenshots. So are we saying that embargoes are good because they could lead a marketer to have that viral lead up when something gets leaked? And that maybe the leak itself is more important than the embargo? That embargoes are important because of the leaks. So that's a different... Now we're talking something completely different. So now we're saying leaks
no,
are...
No, we're not.
Leaks.
We're talking about whether embargoes matter or not. Okay. Not why they...
Embargoes are good because leaks help the marketer.
From time to time, yes.
Okay.
That's not the only reason embargoes are good.
I think that without embargoes, eventually... that the gaming press would correct itself and that the issues that you think embargoes fixes would not be issues. I don't think it would happen overnight. I think it might take months, but
I don't think you would get the access. They control all the information. That's how people agree to get the information is saying,
it would just
hey,
be,
I
you,
won't talk about
you
this.
You just get the information at a different time. The information would you would get the information the day you could release it.
I'm getting bored.
then we'll move on.
Let's move on. I don't know. It's just funny that something could be destroying games journalism. There really is not much. I mean, in terms of investigative journalism, there's basically none. And most, and like I said, 99% of game writing is really just marketing being disseminated and rewritten.
No, it's journalism by definition.
Well, it definitely is journalism. Journalism is just if you write professionally for a magazine or newspaper or an online version of those. So yeah, it's definitely journalism. There's just not much in the way of investigative journalism. And really, like you said once before, that really games writing is just consumer, what'd you call it? I forgot what you called it. Or product.
No, it's
consumer journalism.
Consumer journalism is what it is, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, you know, you're writing about products.
The end game of every article is whether or not you're going to buy something. That's right. What every article is about. It's about whether or not you're going to buy something.
Anyway, let's move on. What is this about Blizzard hating gay people?
Oh, they made a video at BlizzCon with lots of homophobic slurs and then posted it as if it was okay.
Really?
Yeah. Some dude. I'm very educated. I'm having a rough night already. Mm. Sorry. Elliot's teething is not helping anybody. Again, right. I haven't slept in over a week.
I'm trying to skim this thing.
Yeah.
Look at that.
The front man for Cannibal Corpse did BlizzCon's closing concert. It sounds like it was an amazing show. And he said a lot of racial epithets, not racial, homophobic slurs during his
Wait, Cannibal Corpse said that?
Yeah, I know.
What?
But
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know.
Let's move on.
I've lost a lot of respect for Cannibal Corpse.
Right, I'm not buying their new album for sure.
But if that's Cannibal Corpse, is that who BlizzCon should have hired to do their closing concert? Was Jonathan Coulton not available?
Right. Doesn't he have to do every video?
Yeah,
isn't
that like his job?
I think he's still on tour with They Might Be Giants.
Aha.
They couldn't find Paul in Storm or
let's move on
Yoko
here.
Tamaguchi or whatever there.
What? Majora 2010 writes in and he says, Chibi, did you get the Saints Row 3 initiation station? And if so, what do you think about it? I did get it. You can get it from GameSpot. There's a link there. I tweeted it the other day. It's a pretty cool idea. They let you download the character editor now and you can create your characters for use in the game when it comes out and you can upload them to their community site and share them with other people and then use them when the game comes out. So I think that's really cool. You should definitely grab that for free and get, because you know how when you get a new game that has a character creator, you waste so much time making your character and all you really want to do is play the game, but you don't want to start the game until you get your guy's shit right. It's a great way to get it started. I thought it was a really good idea. I tried making an Incredible Hulk knockoff because you can make green guys, but then I got tired and I stopped. You can't save the character. You have to upload it when you're done. Like if you turn your Xbox off without uploading it, it's gone. So
upload it to what?
I wasn't ready to their server. Oh, okay. To their community server.
Oh, so this is on the console that you do this.
It's using on console or on PC.
Oh, okay.
On Steam. Yeah, you do it right on the console. Yeah, it's like an 800 megabyte file, pretty big file, but very cool. And you can get it for free from GameSpot. So get your Saints Row the third on a little early, or just the character creation. What else we got here? I see there's a PlayStation Vita first edition bundle for people who absolutely positively need to have a Vita. Was it 1 week early or 2 weeks early?
I think it's 2 weeks. Two weeks, maybe.
One place I saw two weeks, and one place I saw one week.
Doesn't matter.
I thought it's got to be 1 week, right? Doesn't this thing come out in February?
February 22nd, it comes out.
Right.
So for $300.
Who needs math? What do we look like, engineers?
$350, you get the 3G model. You can only do this with a 3G model. It comes with a case and a 4 GB memory card and Little Deviance. So Little Deviance would normally cost $40. So for $10 extra, well, it depends if you want the game or not, right?
What is Little Deviants?
It's a game about midget pedophiles.
Okay, I do want that. Yep.
Right, of course you do. So normally just the game and, I mean, the machine and the game would cost you $340. So for an extra $10, you get the case and the 4 GB memory card. And you get to get the game, February 15th, it says. So it's like a week and a half.
Is 4 GB, does that seem really small to you?
That is small. That is small. The games are probably going to be at least a gig, I'm sure. So yeah, that's small. I know they sell 32 gig. Like on Amazon Japan, the 32 GB cards have been sold out for a while now. So yeah, that's kind of small. But for, if you're going to buy that game anyway, well, you also, maybe you're not interested in the 3G model and then you're stuck with that. So I don't know. It is what it is. It's an interesting idea. I don't know if this has ever been done before with a new, with a hardware launch. Where if you
what
buy
do I
a
get
bundle,
if I wait a week?
You get to buy it at regular price. And get
the model
whatever you
that
want.
I want. Right.
And get, you get the model you want and the games that you want.
And the memory card size that I want?
Yep. So you
How
might want to go that
the
route.
The case that I want.
So, yep.
Okay.
You get that. You get all those options. Or they're all on the table for you.
I'll have to weigh that against the week early.
Good luck. I know you're going to be up many sleepless. There'll be many sleepless nights as you try to work that out. And some other big news this week. Nintendo is losing a lot of money. And part of it is due to the incredibly strong yen against other foreign currencies. And the other part of it is they're not selling that many 3DSs or Wiis at this point. So they've almost lost $1 billion this year.
So what did they lose $1 billion from?
The problem is,
I can understand not making a lot of money by not selling things, but how do you actually lose money by not selling?
Because a lot of their expenses are probably paid for in yen, and they're taking in a lot of dollars, which are not worth a lot.
Yeah, I heard they lost around $500 million in currency conversion.
Just in the currency.
There you go. You answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. So they were not anticipating this super weak dollar.
Well, it is Obama's fault.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, but here's the real question. Here's the billion-dollar question. The billion-dollar question is, the Wii U going to be the thing that gets them out of this hole? Because I look at the Wii U and I think people are not going to be interested in this. This is not going to be a big seller. And do you think people are excited about the Wii U? I mean, it's coming out next year.
It'll you know, it's going to depend on a handful of things. How it's marketed. Will the talk shows pick it up? Will Ellen play the Wii U? And, you know, and word of mouth at the target audience, which is probably going to be, what, the 10 to 13? Eight to 13.
I don't think the Wii U is going to work as well on television like the Wii did, because it's not that interesting to watch somebody playing basically an iPad.
That's what's going to be interesting, is it doesn't have that. Exactly. I think the Wii is a better gimmick than the Wii U, so it's going to be interesting to find out. Yeah, I don't know. My answer is a qualified I don't know.
I'm going to say I think it's going to bomb. I think the people who bought the Wii and who haven't used it in a year are going to see another product with Wii in its name and think, yeah, I don't really play that other Wii that I have. Am I going to really spend a couple $100 and buy this one? I could also just buy an iPad.
I don't think it's going to bomb.
You don't?
No, I don't. It's not going to do as well as the Wii, because nothing is
going
to do as well
happen.
As the Wii. That's,
right, right.
That's it. The Wii's unprecedented.
I think it will not meet their sales forecasts. Whatever they are, I don't know what they are, but whatever they are, I don't think it's going to meet them.
It's going to have Mario.
It's going to have Mario, but we'll see. I think,
So did the GameCube,
maybe...
though.
And the GameCube did fine. GameCube did fine. It just didn't do, it didn't do PlayStation 2 numbers.
Right. They won't have the success that they've had with the Wii or the 3DS, or the DS. They're not having that again. On the 3DS or the Wii U. It's just not going to happen. And mostly in part, well, not mostly, but partly in part to tablets and smartphones on both of these problems. causing both of these problems for them. But we'll see. We'll see. I want to just mention briefly about my iPhone 4S, which I've had for a while now. There's something wrong with the battery. It does not last a long time when I use it. I feel like it's a software problem.
You sure that's not just the GPD version?
What's the GPD version?
It just doesn't last very long.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But I'm bummed.
Thank you.
Sex joke.
Hey.
I think,
chalk it up.
I think this happened with iOS 4 too. When it first came out, there was something causing battery drain and they fixed it with a software update, unless I'm completely imagining that. So I'm hoping that's the case again, because I just don't seem to be getting, it seems to be much worse than my old phone. But other than that, it's great. So I'm CagBag, and show us your tweets before we wrap things up. Jay Rossa 2 writes in, how excited are you for Tribes Ascend? I'd be very excited if it was on a console, but because it's just PC for now, I am just sad. Because I saw some gameplay of it and it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
You even Shipwreck agrees, and he doesn't give a shit about Tribes.
Right. I saw it at PAX a lot. I walked past it a lot, and I kept on looking to see if it was on a console.
There's no game like Tribes, really.
Skylanders.
You know, Halo added... No, it's not like Tribes. Halo put the jetpacks in, and it just, but it's not the same. Like, you need, you know, big jetpacks, powerful jetpacks. There's really no game like Tribes, and they need to get that shit out on Xbox as soon as possible. Thank you. Let's see. SD Brown, 1988, writes in, with the success of Arkham City, do you think there could be a Black Panther game, given their similar attributes? Wombat, you're the expert.
I think it could be cool. The problem is I can't picture anyone at Activision making a good Marvel game anymore. Because they would have the rights to that.
How would a civil rights game work?
No, we're talking about T'Challa.
Sorry, ruined your Black Panther party.
The king of the Wakandans.
Nobody's
the holder of 98% of all the vibranium in the world.
Only Wombat knows that, and no one's going to buy a Black Panther game. They will never make a Black Panther game.
Black Panther is a really cool character, and he actually was one of my favorites in Marvel Ultimate Alliance. The first one, he was pretty badass.
I've got a serious question.
Sure.
Is he black, or is he...
No, yeah. He's like the first black Marvel superhero.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was curious. I didn't know if he was Latino under there or what was
going
on.
But he happens to be a billionaire who rules his own country, and he can do some serious damage when...
Where's the country at?
In Africa.
Racist.
Not me, Stan Lee is.
All right, let's see. Stephen Lay writes in, I just want to know if Wombat hated those Catwoman missions as much as I did. I know he spoke about it briefly on the last podcast.
I've only done two, so...
Yeah, we didn't talk about Batman. I played a lot of Batman.
I'm about 33% through the story mode. That's what it said when I checked my stats.
Oh.
How far are you?
I've only played, let's see, I've played 6 hours.
So I'm probably a little bit further than you. What do you think of the Batman?
It's a lot of fun. My head didn't explode when I played it, like maybe a lot of other people did. But I do enjoy the environment that, you know, the bigger emphasis on traveling through the environment than the other game. I enjoy the combat a lot. I do question some of the design decisions in the game. That all that chatter. That background chatter.
I agree with you there. I don't think it needs to have that much background chatter.
It's a lot.
It is. It's overwhelming. It is a little overwhelming.
I would like some swelling music would be fine, I think. I don't know if I need to hear people talking about everything all the time. What they would do to me if they saw me, and you know how hungry they are. It's not that compelling.
Yeah, and a lot of it is a little too, you hear too often. Yes.
Did you read that review I sent you?
Which one?
The Grant something?
Grantland? Oh, Grantland. Yeah, that's Bill Simmons' new website. I saw you sent me the link, but I didn't actually have a chance to read the...
Bill Simmons is a sports guy, right?
Bill Simmons is a sports guy, and
so He wrote the review?
He didn't write the review. Someone for Grantland, which is his offshoot. Okay. It's owned by ESPN, I believe.
Tom Bissell is the name of the guy.
But it's Bill Simmons' website. It's his
The
project.
Review is really entertaining. It's a very well-written review. I recommend. I think there might be some minor spoilers in it. I thought I was entering spoiler territory, so I skipped some sections of it. But it's pretty interesting. It's really funny. He talks about how there's way too many gadgets in the game.
Yeah, and, there's a lot of Have you tried to do some of the quick stuff like in combat just to see how that?
It's too many buttons.
Many buttons.
It's overwhelming. What's that?
Sometimes I did stuff by accident and I didn't know how I did it.
Right. He also talks about how Batman is so much of everyone's a dick in the game. Like Alfred's a dick. Batman's a dick. Robin's a dick. I don't know. The review is really entertaining. One of the best reviews I've ever read, actually, for any video game. So check that out. Let's see where we are here. I don't know. Oh, Complex. Let's see. Complex Conf writes in. A bit of a weird question, but are you guys as baffled as me that arguably Nintendo is the winner of the console wars? Well, they sold the most consoles so far.
Well, we talked about this already on this show. It plays very well to the public.
It plays well on TV.
Yeah.
And to people who maybe would not normally buy a console. So yeah, that's why it won. And I don't think that the new one is going to be able to match that and it's not going to be able to accomplish that. It doesn't have the same characteristics.
Wii Bowling was pretty fantastic.
Well, it showed well on TV.
Wii Bowling sold a lot of Wiis.
Yeah. People like their bowling, I guess. Their fake bowling.
There have been episodes of sitcoms revolving around people playing video game bowling or video game tennis. And they don't call it the Wii, but you know what they're playing. It's just, it became an ingrained part of Americana.
Right.
It may have even appeared on an episode of iCarly.
It might have. That show is the bomb.
And on that note, it is time to say goodbye. Oh, that note also. Two notes. Excuse me. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week, of course. Follow us on Twitter, GPD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck.
Yes.
Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer. Review us on iTunes, please. We always appreciate your reviews. Audibletrial.com/CadCast. Get that Steve Jobs biography for free and a free 2-week trial. And that's it. We'll see you next time.
Bread's done.
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Hoping to find we're two of a kind. Make it a go, make it a draw. Together, we're gonna find our way. Together, taking the time.